Thanks, Adam. Morning, everyone. This week and next week, we're going to spend reading the book of Jonah. So we're going to look at the first two chapters this morning. Before we start, though, pray with me. Lord God, you're a great and powerful God, and you rule over the world that we see around us. And through your power that we see around us, we see what your heart is like. Lord, we want our hearts to be like your heart. Please make us your obedient servants. Amen. Well, Jonah is an absolute cracker story. There's a hero and an anti-hero and a great adventure, of course. If you'd asked me when I was a kid who I thought the hero and the anti-hero were, I probably would have told you that Jonah was the hero and the bad guys were maybe the Ninevites or the big fish that swallowed Jonah. But of course, it's a bit more complicated than that, isn't it? The story does have a hero, but the hero's God. And the story does have an anti-hero. The anti-hero is Jonah. Jonah is everything a hero shouldn't be. Jonah's a prophet. It's his job to speak the word of God. You would think that he would be the hero, but Jonah's a pathetic prophet. Jonah gets just about everything wrong. He's so simple-minded, it's comical. He does these ridiculous and stupid things. He ends up in a total mess. He's a dunce. He's a screw-up. I reckon if the story of Jonah was made into a film, Jonah would have to be played by someone like Jim Carrey or Johnny Depp. One of those guys, he's just that sort of guy that can take a normal situation and make a mess of it. He turns it into a farce. And when we read the story of Jonah, in a way we're supposed to laugh. It's a bit of a tragicomedy. It's funny. Jonah's a complete turkey. He's a pathetic prophet. And he's just like us. He's just like us because he disobeys God. That's how he ends up in all these messes. We're going to cover a couple of chapters, as I mentioned, so if you do have a Bible there handy, that would certainly be great. Now, Jonah chapter 1 starts with God speaking to Jonah. Verse 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Jonah made two really dumb mistakes here, and two mistakes that we all make all the time. First one is he disobeyed God. God's word came to him, and he didn't listen. God gave two commands. He said the first one was go to Nineveh, and the second, preach against it. Now, in the Hebrew, which this book was originally written in, The two commands are actually get up and cry out against Nineveh. Get up and cry out. But instead of getting up, Jonah went down to Joppa. He went down to Joppa and got on a ship to Tarshish. See, God told him to do one thing, he did the opposite. God told him to go one direction, he went the opposite direction. Whether it was getting up or going down or going east to Nineveh or west to Tarshish, Jonah did the exact opposite of what God told him to do. God had this plan. He wanted to show the world his love through Jonah and through Jonah's obedience. Because God's a God of love, he wants us to obey him because he wants to show us his love. Jonah was a pathetic prophet because he didn't obey God's word. His second mistake was thinking he could actually outrun God. Now, Nineveh was almost 1,000 kilometres away from Israel, 1,000 kilometres. So it's not like Jonah was running away from Nineveh. He was nowhere near Nineveh. He ran away from God. If he's already 1,000 kilometres from Nineveh, another 1,000's hardly going to make a difference. Jonah was running away from Israel. He thought God was only in Israel. But God's everywhere. You can't run from God. And God loved Jonah too much to let him run. He actually sent a storm to stop him running. The storm wasn't punishment. The storm was because God loved Jonah. He wanted to bring him back. Have a look at verse 4 of chapter 1. It says, "The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, 'How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us and we won't perish.'" In these first six verses, Jonah's gone to Joppa and got on the ship, and the storm's come and the ship's about to sink and the sailors have thrown everything overboard and they've cried out to their gods. All that's happened and there's only been two bits of speech. Only two people have spoken. Two bits of speech have been recorded for us. The first was the voice of God. God said to Jonah, "Get up and cry out against Nineveh." The second voice is that of the captain of the ship. And given the circumstances, I imagine he was probably yelling at Jonah. He said, "Get up and cry out to your God." The same words. We can't escape God. We can't escape God because he loves us too much. And no matter how far Jonah ran, God's words were still ringing in his ears. He couldn't escape God. Jonah's a pathetic prophet for thinking he could hide from God. Jonah's a pathetic prophet because he just didn't know what God was like. He didn't know God loved him, and he didn't know God had a plan for him. He didn't know how big God was. He was so oblivious to all these things that he should have known that he messed it all up. Claire, my wife, has a rabbit. Jonah reminds me a little bit of our rabbit. Maybe we should have named it Jonah. Our rabbit's not very good at listening. I don't know if you've got a rabbit. If you do, you'll understand this. It's not very good at listening. It's not very good at obeying. You can't teach it a trick. When you call, it doesn't come. If it escapes out of the cage, it just runs away. It doesn't understand that if it runs away, it's going to get attacked by a dog or hit by a car before the day's out. It's not afraid of anything. It's one of the most foolish animals I've ever seen. But we do the same thing with God. God wants us to obey him. In fact, he demands that we obey him. And because he does it because he wants us to know him. He wants us to know how much he loves us. He wants to show himself to the world through us, through our obedience, as we live in a way that grows the kingdom. He wants us to live in a way that resists the effects of sin in the world and pushes back on the idea that sin has control over us, because Jesus has saved us from sin. And yet we keep on sinning. We keep on trying to escape God. We're just like Jonah. We keep running away from God. For some reason, we think we can hide. We think God can see us here at church, but not when we're at home. We think he can see us when we do good things in front of our friends, but he can't see our web browser history. We think he can see what we say to people's faces, but not what we say behind their backs. We think God can't see us when we're at work and we're not taking those opportunities that he's giving us to share the gospel. We think he doesn't notice when we stop reading our Bibles, or when we give up on praying with our kids, or when we skip hanging out with other followers of Jesus at small group. But we still do these things because we're sinful. And we forget that we can't hide. We forget God loves us. We relax thinking we're out of sight. But God wants us to know how big he is and how powerful he is and how good it is for us to obey him, and how much he wants to be the source of our salvation. The sailors on the ship didn't take long to realize God was the source of their salvation. Now, their understanding of God was very limited, especially compared to Jonah's understanding of God. But their actions showed that they feared God more than Jonah. Jonah didn't fear God. To fear God isn't to be scared of God, and we don't fear God because he's a tyrant or anything like that. We fear God because he's king. He has ultimate authority. Fearing God is respecting that authority. It's knowing the magnitude of God's goodness. It's knowing God can send a great big storm to bring back someone he loves. Fearing God is hating the evil God hates and loving the way God loves. It's realizing the absolute awesomeness of God and his power and his sovereignty and his control. Jonah got on that ship and he thought he was home and hosed, sitting there playing some games on his iPad and going to have a nap. He saw a bit of a storm coming. He thought that'll be fine, won't be a problem. He was totally confident he was out of God's reach. He didn't realize that God had saved him for a reason. God had saved him to go and tell those people in Nineveh about God. Jonah didn't realize his whole life, from beginning to end, belonged to God. And so this storm was a wake-up call. God was saying to Jonah, look, your life is mine. I've saved you. I own you. Fear me. Well, the storm sure made the sailors afraid. Have a look at verse 12. Jonah said, pick me up and throw me into the sea and it'll become calm. I know that it's my fault this great storm's come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they couldn't, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, O Lord, please don't let us die for taking this man's life. Don't hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now these blokes knew someone was responsible for the storm. They knew Jonah was running away from God. And then Jonah told them his God was the God of heaven, who created the sea and the dry land. And they put two and two together, and verse 10 says when they did, they were terrified. Now Jonah wanted them to throw him overboard, but as well as being scared, they also feared God. They didn't want to throw a guy overboard when God was clearly so interested in him. They knew God was the one who would hold them accountable if they took Jonah's life. And we can see from their prayer, they knew God would decide whether they were innocent or guilty. They realized that God did as he pleased. They knew God was sovereign. Out of respect for God's power and his love of Jonah, they really didn't want to kill Jonah. And so they started rowing harder. And they quickly realized something else, though. Unlike Jonah, they realized they couldn't run from God. So they stopped trying to run, and they started listening. As I mentioned earlier, Jonah was God's prophet. It was Jonah's job to speak the words of God. And Jonah told the sailors to chuck him in the drink. So they did. Unlike Jonah again, the sailors obeyed. They obeyed God, and they trusted that when they did obey God, God would look after them. And after they threw Jonah overboard, they offered a sacrifice and made vows. By offering a sacrifice and making promises, they acknowledged God's authority over their lives. Now, quite literally, God had decided not to sink their ship. By the time the storm ended, they greatly feared God. They did what Jonah should have done back when God first told him to get up and go to Nineveh. instead of being scared of the people of Nineveh or being scared of looking like a traitor or whatever it was Jonah was scared of, instead of running, Jonah should have acknowledged God's authority over his life. He should have realized God had the power to keep him safe. God had the power to declare him innocent. God had a plan bigger than his comfort zone. In short, he should have feared God. These sailors, on the other hand, in the space of a few hours, went from being totally ignorant of God to gratefully accepting his salvation. We need to do the same. We need to fear God. And that doesn't mean being scared of God. I'm not scared of the police. I hope you aren't either. But I do wear my seatbelt. I know that the police have authority to punish me if I don't. And I accept that because I know that it's part of a bigger system designed to protect me. And we don't need to be scared of God, but we do need to fear God. And our fear of God is demonstrated in the way we choose to live. Jonah knew more about God than the sailors did, but we know more about God than Jonah did. God's spoken to us finally and fully in Jesus Christ. God's spoken to us in a way that he never spoke to Jonah. For us, in a way, obedience is easier than ever. We can look to Jesus, our rescuer. And we can see the way he loved God his Father. And we can see the way he obeyed God his Father. Now, we all act like Jonah sometimes. We all sin. But like I said, our fear of God is demonstrated in the way we choose to live. And God sent his son Jesus to be our king. Our ultimate act in fear of God is to submit to Jesus as king. Jesus who loves us. Jesus who has the power to save us. Jesus who decides if we're innocent or guilty. Jesus who commands us to run to him to have our sins forgiven. We need to make a point of deliberately coming to Jesus and confessing and saying sorry for the times we've made out God in our hearts to be a lot smaller than he really is. We need to pray that every day. Those sailors made vows. They promised to keep obeying God into the future. It's so easy for us to forget. So we need to keep praying and keep remembering God's in control. Because when we forget God's sovereignty, we stop fearing God. And when we stop fearing God, we forget how much he loves us. And when we forget how much he loves us, well, we start disobeying him. We've got to remember that in the end, it's God who owns our destiny. Because salvation belongs to the Lord. The key to being able to trust God with our lives is knowing salvation belongs to him. Salvation's his to give or to withhold. When he gives us salvation, he shows his heart. In fact, God has saved us in such a way that he's shown us how gracious he is and he's shown us how merciful he is. Have a look at chapter 1, verse 17. In verse 17, Jonah's about to drown, so God sent a big fish to swallow him. In fact, he sent the fish to save him. It was only when Jonah was drowning and had just been saved by this fish God sent that he finally realized salvation belongs to the Lord. And so he prayed this prayer that we have in chapter 2. Now, the way the prayer starts and ends is really important, and there's some good stuff in the middle too, but have a look at how the prayer starts in chapter 2, verse 1. Jonah's first words are, "In my distress, I called to the Lord." There's that same word again. In the Hebrew, it's the very first word of the prayer. Finally, Jonah cried out to God. He realized he needed God's mercy, and he realized God was merciful. Now, we all depend on God for life. It's God's grace alone that saves us. For all intents and purposes, Jonah was dead, sinking in the sea, miles from land, but God gives us a second chance. Jonah's prayer shows us how God rescues us and why God rescues us. God rescues us even though we're guilty. Jonah was not on his way to Nineveh when he was chucked overboard. He was running away. He was sinning. That's why he was calling out in distress. Our sin gets us into all sorts of trouble. We end up in dumb situations because we've been disobedient. But just like Jonah, we can call out to God because we know he loves us. We may well be massive screw-ups like Jonah was, but God answers us and gives us another chance. Let's be people who do that. Let's cry out to God and ask for help. Let's do it every time we get ourselves in a tangle. And God will help us, even though we're disobedient. God will also rescue us despite his judgment. The sailors threw Jonah overboard, but in verse 3 of his prayer, he says that God hurled him into the deep. God was angry that Jonah disobeyed, and God had to show him the consequences, but it didn't stop him loving him. We're all under God's judgment because we're disobedient, but God's been willing to do something about that. We often think of characters in the Old Testament as foreshadowing Jesus, don't we? Well, here's one you probably don't think about very often. The great big fish was foreshadowing Jesus. The big fish was a type of Jesus, a type of Messiah. God was willing to put his judgment aside and send this fish to rescue Jonah. God's son Jesus did one better. He was killed. He took the punishment we deserve to rescue us. And that's the type of heart that God has. God can also rescue us from impossible situations. In verse 5 and 6, Jonah says how he's drowning, he's tangled up in seaweed, he's so deep he's at the roots of the mountains. The bottom of the ocean has trapped him forever. In verse 7, he says that his life was ebbing away. Life was literally leaving his body. And just when it was all over, God rescued him. With Jesus, God's come up with an impossible situation where no one else could. God rescues us because he loves us, but he also rescues us because he wants us to know what he's like. The last words of Jonah's prayer in verse 9, he says, "I with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." Notice that Jonah said he'd sacrifice and make vows. He's finally figured out what those sailors figured out earlier. He's finally found a right response to God. He feared God. He realized he deserved death, but God didn't treat him the way he deserved. He finally understood God's in charge of this whole salvation business. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And when he realized that, well, that's just what God was waiting for. It finally clicked for Jonah, and straight away he got spat out on dry lands. He was finally ready to be everything God had planned him to be. He finally knew what God was like. He realized that God's big, but God's also loving. God's also merciful. We're so much like Jonah. We disobey so often. We do so many things that we think are a secret. We think we can get away with it. Well, we need this outrageous, bizarre grace that God gives Jonah, swallowed by a fish. What a way to be saved. We need Jesus, something so much more outrageous. Jesus, the Son of God, crucified to save us. God rescues us from the impossible situation of our sin. Failed marriages, broken families, unemployment, jail time. It doesn't matter what we're responsible for, God is still merciful. Even when we've run away, even when we've totally shirked our responsibilities as followers of Jesus, All we need to do is call out in repentance. In fact, the clumsier we are in life, like Jonah was, the more we see how great God is. We have so many reasons to celebrate the fact that our destiny is in God's hands. Let's cry out to God now. Let's pray. Lord God, salvation belongs to you. Our salvation belongs to you. We're sorry we've run from you in disobedience. Thanks for showing us what you're like. Thanks for showing us, even when we've got ourselves in a tangle, you're there for us and you want to bring us back. And God, we pray this in Jesus' name because we know that it's by his blood that you've rescued us. Amen.